their low-cost alternative, Song. Less than a year later, United launched TED. In both cases, they copied how Southwest did it. They made TED and Song cheap, fun, and simple, just like Southwest. And for anyone who ever flew TED or Song, they were cheap, they were fun, and they were simple. And they both failed. United and Delta were both old hands in the airline business, and every bit qualified to add whatever products they felt necessary to adapt to market conditions or seize opportunities. The problem was not what they did. The problem was, no one knew why Song or TED existed. They may have even been better than Southwest. But it didn't matter. Sure, people flew them, but there were always reasons why people will do business with you that have nothing to do with you. That people can be motivated to use your product is not the issue. The problem was that too few were loyal to the brands. Without a clear sense of why, Song and TED were just another couple of airlines. Without a clear sense of why, all that people had to judge them on was price or convenience. They were commodities that had to rely on manipulations to build their businesses, an expensive proposition to say the least. United abandoned TED just 4 years after it began, and Delta Song also took its last flight only 4 years after it launched. It is a false assumption that differentiation happens in how and what you do. Simply offering a high-quality product with more features or better service or a better price does not create difference. Doing so guarantees no success. Differentiation happens in why and how you do it. Southwest isn't the best airline in the world, nor are they always the cheapest. They have fewer routes than many of their competition and don't even fly outside the continental United States. What they do is not always significantly better, but why they do it is crystal clear, and everything they do proves it. There are many ways to motivate people to do things, but loyalty comes from the ability to inspire people to do things. Only when the why is clear and people believe what you believe can a true, loyal relationship develop. Manipulation and inspiration are similar, but not the same. Manipulation and inspiration both tickle the limbic brain. Aspirational messages, fear, or peer pressure all push us to decide one way or another by appealing to our irrational desires or playing on our fears. But it's when that emotional feeling goes deeper than insecurity or uncertainty or dreams that the emotional reaction aligns with how we view ourselves. It is at that point that behavior moves from being motivated to inspired. When we are inspired, the decisions we make have more to do with who we are and less to do with the companies or the products we're buying. When our decisions feel right, we're willing to pay a premium or suffer an inconvenience for those products or services. This has nothing to do with price or quality. Price, quality, features, and service are important, but they are the cost of entry in business today. It is those visceral limbic feelings that create loyalty, and it is that loyalty that gives Apple or Harley Davidson or Southwest Airlines or Martin Luther King or any other great leader who commands a following such a huge advantage. Without a strong base of loyal followers, the pressure increases to manipulate, to compete, or differentiate based on price, quality, service, or features. Loyalty, the feeling of real emotional value, exists in the brain of the buyer, not the seller. It's hard to make a case to someone that your products or services are important in their lives based on external rational factors that you defined as valuable. Remember the Ferrari versus the Honda? However, if your why and their why are aligned, then they will see your products and services as tangible ways to prove what they believe. When why and how and what are in balance, authenticity is achieved, and the buyer feels fulfilled. When they are out of balance, stress or uncertainty exists. When that happens, the decisions we make will also be out of balance. Without why, the buyer is easily motivated by aspiration or fear. At that point, it is the buyer who is at the greatest risk of ending up being inauthentic. If they buy something that doesn't clearly embody their own sense of why, then those around them have little evidence to paint a clear and accurate picture of who they are. The human animal is a social animal. We are very good at sensing subtleties in behavior and judging people accordingly. We get good feelings and bad feelings about companies just as we get good feelings and bad feelings about people. There are some people we just feel we can trust, and others we just feel we can't. Those feelings also manifest when organizations try to court us. Our ability to feel one way or another toward a person or an organization is the same. What changes is who is talking to us, but it is always a single individual who is listening. Even a company that airs its message on TV, for example, no matter how many people see that commercial, it's always and only an individual that can receive the message. This is the core value of the Golden Circle. It provides a way to communicate consistent with how individuals receive information. For this reason, an organization must be clear about its purpose, its cause, or belief, and make sure that everything they say and everything they do is consistent and authentic to that belief. If the levels of the Golden Circle are in balance, all those who share the organization's view of the world will be drawn to it and its products, like a moth to a light bulb. Doing business is like dating. I'd like to introduce you to our imaginary friend, Brad. Brad is going on a date tonight. It's a first date, and he's pretty excited. He thinks the woman he's about to meet is really beautiful, and that she makes a great prospect. Brad sits down for dinner, and he starts talking. "I am extremely rich," he says. "I have a big house, and I drive a beautiful car. I know lots of famous people. I'm on TV all the time, which is good because I'm good-looking. And I've actually done pretty well for myself." The question is, based on the things that Brad says, does Brad get a second date? The way we communicate and the way we behave is all a matter of biology. That means we can make some comparisons between the things we do in our social lives and the things we do in our professional lives. After all, people are people. To learn how to apply the why to a business situation, you needn't look much farther than how we act on a date. Because in reality, there is no difference between sales and dating. In both circumstances, you sit across the table from your prospect and hope to say enough of the right things to close the deal. Of course, you could always opt for a manipulation or two, a fancy dinner, dropping hints of tickets that you may have or whom you know. Depending on how badly you want to close the deal, you could tell them anything they want to hear, promise them the world, and the odds are good that you'll close the deal. Once, maybe twice. With time, however, maintaining that relationship will cost more and more. No matter the manipulations you choose, this is not the way to build a trusting relationship. In Brad's case, it is obvious that the date did not go well. The odds are not good that he will get a second date, and he's certainly not done a good job of laying down the foundation to build a relationship. Ironically, the woman's initial interest may have been generated based on those elements. She agreed to go on the date in the first place because her friends told her that Brad was good-looking and he had a good job and he knew lots of famous people. Even all those things may be true, whats don't drive decision-making. Whats should be used as proof of why, and the date plainly fell flat. Let's send Brad out on that date again, and this time he's going to start with why.